You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Hey, are you a business owner, entrepreneur, or professional? If so, we want you to apply to be a featured guest on our show. My name is Adam Torres, and I host the Mission Matters series of podcasts. I've recorded over 3,000 episodes, and we are just getting started. How do you know if you'd be a good guest to be on the show? Well, only one way to find out, and that's to apply, but I'm going to let you in on a little secret. We want guests that have a story to tell, guests with a brand, a product, or a service that can benefit my audience of listeners. If this sounds like you, go to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to Apply. I'd love to talk to you and get to know more about your story. Again, head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to Apply. All right, now let's get into the show. Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres. You can follow me on Instagram at AskAdamTorres. And if you'd like to apply to be a guest on the show, just head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to Apply. All right, so today I have Mike McConville on the line, and he is founder and CEO at M2C Digital. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thanks a lot, Adam. Appreciate it. Great to be here today.
All right, Mike. So we have a big topic today, and I have a funny story to share. So we'll talk about domains, the importance of domains. We're talking, you know, to your startup founders out there, your VCs. We're talking to a lot of people, even the person that's out there right now thinking about making an investment in a domain, and they're thinking, should I do it by myself, or should I think about like being a little bit more methodical behind that decision and what that looks like? So we'll talk about all of that. We're going to do a real nice deep dive into what Mike is doing over at M2C. But just to get us kicked off, Mike, so I'd like to start with our signature question. So Mike, we at Mission Matters, we amplify stories for entrepreneurs, executives, and experts. So that's our mission here. Mike, what mission matters to you?
So my mission, Adam, is trying to level the playing field for individuals that are the founders, the startups, the small business owners, leveling the playing field between them acquiring the domain that they need for their business and the investors who have been doing this since the early 90s, and just making it a fair situation, because it's definitely stacked against them is the best way to describe it.
That's awesome. And love bringing on mission-based entrepreneurs and executives on the line. So great to have you here today. And I guess just to get us kicked off, so like, what got you on this path? So tell us about the Mike before you got into your current mission of M2C Digital. Like, how'd you get to this point?
Yeah, sure. That makes sense. So I've been an entrepreneur for the last couple of decades, and have a background in sales and have a background in medicine. I was in physical therapy for a while. But ultimately, once I started working for myself, even though I'm the worst boss that I could possibly work for, I just can't stop doing it. Had a number of different businesses. And in 2009, started a successful business with one of my friends. We actually made it to the Inc. 5000. We were in the top 500. And unfortunately, we had a hyphenated domain for our business. And we decided after getting onto Inc. that we would correct that. And the problem for us was that we had so much notoriety. There was so much information about how financially well we were doing that the owner of that domain was a very, very savvy investor. And they took us for a couple $100,000 to get that domain.
Wow. So that's what got you in the space originally then. You're like, you're kind of voluntold by a savvy investor out there that was holding on to the domain that, this is something that there's probably some other people out there that are going to have some interest in.
Yeah. And ultimately, when I left that business, I just stumbled into what happened to be one of the largest outbound domain brokerages. I was looking for something else to do. What was my next project going to be? And I landed at a company called Domain Holdings. Again, one of the largest outbound domain brokerages, so representing sellers. And I was sort of the 11th or 12th guy in the office. Wow. And what I found when I walked in the door is that the biggest of the big investors already were underneath somebody's control or already underneath management by another broker. Mm-hmm. So coming as an entrepreneur, I found my niche in working with buyers. I kept on going out and finding buyers for domains that mm-hmm. other colleagues were representing the seller on. And I realized how unfair things were because there's just so much more information, so much more experience mm-hmm. And history and information, just knowledge on the seller side of things that it was just an uphill battle for buyers. And I realized that it was really important to be in that space, which is what led me to spin out and create M2C Digital.
So if you could go back, so you've been an entrepreneur for a long time, you've had some success, obviously, as an entrepreneur, as we see and hear. Like if you go back to that mic that was maybe just getting started as an entrepreneur and maybe on those first couple of ventures in your adult years, I don't mean like when you strike me as the guy that was at school selling stuff, like you probably had a lot.
I had a great t-shirt business that failed miserably in college, my senior year. So
I feel like you've had lots
of wins and losses. Absolutely.
The adult ventures. So let's say you could go back to that mic that was just getting it started with that first, like, you know, serious venture, and you could give him some advice and tell him, you know, some words of wisdom. What kind of things would you tell him?
I think I would tell that mic to slow down. Mm. That mic made a lot of very quick decisions, moved really fast. And the unfortunate thing I think that happens with a lot of entrepreneurs is we end up being the smartest person in the room. Mm. And it really is helpful to listen to some outside advice. The very first adult mic adventure, it did turn out, unfortunately, I didn't make it. It was about a 3-year deal before I fell apart and just didn't have the financial backing to be able to make it. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, along the way of making those early decisions, I had been advised that I was making some mistakes, and looking back at it, I really should have been more open to listening to some other suggestions. I think it probably would have changed the course of that business. Yeah. But ultimately, that failure is what leverages you to do things differently in the future. So I don't look back on any of those bad outcomes as anything other than what gave me the backbone to continue and fight in new areas that I probably would have been terrified to try otherwise.
Man, I completely relate to that. Like, Adam, slow down. Adam, this doesn't happen overnight. I would tell myself the same thing. And then there's all these experienced business people around you that have done more and know more. Maybe you should listen a little bit more, Adam. That's what I would tell me too. And that cost of tuition is much cheaper than going out and learning to make all the mistakes that everybody else has already made. Would you agree?
No, absolutely. That's very true. You expend a lot of personal capital, and you expend a lot of personal credit, and you put yourself in a lesser position to take some bigger risks next time around. But absolutely, it's the speed that you want everything to happen. What is patience is a virtue. I'm not sure that I have it, but at least I should have tried a little harder to have some of that patience.
So we're going to get into M2C 100%. I want to talk very specifically about the services you're offering and how you're helping your clients, and also the demographic that you serve primarily. But maybe it'd be helpful just to give us a little bit more of an education piece of, or an overview of, the domain history, because I feel like most people, myself included, when I first got into buying a domain or something else, I just go on a particular provider. I type it in. If it's available, I buy. It's $1.99. It's something. It's whatever. And that's how you're starting the business. That's what you're doing. Like, that's my experience with my first couple, missionmatters.com. That's our biggest purchase as a domain. And we had to actually buy that one. So that was more than I ever thought we'd spend for a domain, but we moved over from another one when we rebranded to this. So it completely changed everything for us. So that's when I understood the difference between like the last domain we had and then this one, missionmatters.com. So, and again, that cost us. So that's when I understood the importance. But if somebody's watching this and they're a startup founder, or even, you know, some VCs that don't specialize on this part of it, on the branding side or some of that part of it, then they may not know the importance or the landscape. So maybe tell us a little bit more about the overall landscape.
Yeah, I think, Adam, I think your experience is exactly what sort of every entrepreneur and every business founder's experience is. Yeah. I've got a great idea. I'm going to get the best available domain that's out there for me, because I really don't know if this is going to be successful or not. So that piece of it isn't as important as the idea or the product and moving that forward. And it isn't until you reach a certain point of success, you reach a certain level where you're now being looked at by either the public as consumers of you, or maybe as businesses as consumers of you, and then specifically as venture investors viewing you. Do you have it together or not? And not being on the ideal domain for your brand is one of those flags that maybe you're not either serious or you don't have it together. And so there is sort of an image that the way that people on the outside look at you, they can tell a lot about it. If your brand is Mission Matters and you were the Mission Matters TuesdayAfternoons.com, yeah, it's not as believable as the brand that you operate matching exactly your domain. And then there's some other mistakes that people make as well with their domains. It's an email address, right? That's mm-hmm. It's not only the face of your brand, but it's an email address. And the horror stories that we've encountered since we founded our company of errant emails, right? You lost an email. There's a major university that doesn't operate on their .com and they don't own their .com. And the individual that did own it did a study for 30 days about what happens with the emails. And you're talking about thousands and thousands of emails. Wow. And a solid 40% or so of the emails weren't spam. They were real serious things, including an invitation from a sheik in the Arab Peninsula, whoa, inviting them to come to an education seminar. And they basically infuriated a sheik. So there's a lot of negative things that can happen because you don't realize what's being lost with that. If I tell you my brand is Mission Matters, I don't remember everything. I remember your name is Adam, and I remember your brand is Mission Matters. And I go to the internet and I go missionmatters.com and you're there. Great. If you're not, that might be a problem. And maybe I don't pursue, and maybe I don't use search to find you. And so there's some real problems that businesses can get into with that for sure.
I like your example of using us. I definitely love the university example and tying an email. I know some people may hear those and be like, yeah, but I'm not a media brand, or yeah, but I'm not a university. So let's bring it down a little bit more to maybe some of the things you've seen for just your, you know, either your brick and mortar or your service business. Like, let's bring it more to that level so people can know that.
So not just those major organizations like that, but even the individuals that are running an app on just an app. Well, there's a reason that apps operate on the best possible version of their domain. Yeah. It's because people do encounter them that way. And people do find greater believability in that. The corner store that operates on their brand name has much more credibility than if they don't. And it's just about seriousness. If you're serious about your brand, then you're going to be serious about things like your logo. You're going to be serious about a number of other things that you do. And your domain is one of those business card moments where I can look down and say, are you serious, or are you kind of just Jimmy skipping by? And you really want to be able to present that serious face, to be able to be believable and to be trustworthy and basically say, I've got it together. Mm-hmm. I'm worth doing business with.
Fantastic. Yeah. And I get it. And again, I didn't get it until after having to make that purchase and do other things, like to make sure that we had it, because I'm like, that's exactly what we went through. We're like, the missionmatters.com or missionmattersnews.com, not bad, but it's still not missionmatters.com. I mean, we went through all these different iterations of, and then we finally, like, all right, we just have to buy it. we just have to, because that was our moment of, are we serious with this brand? Like, how is the public going to take this? I'm like, you know, Forbes.com, missionmatters.com. Like, if we want to be on that level one day, and if we want to be recognized as a serious media outlet, how can we not have our domain? Like, that's the bottom line. And for other businesses,
you're either going to do it today, Adam, or you're going to look at doing it some point in the future. And in almost every single instance, it's going to be more painful. It's going to be more expensive in the future than if you do it earlier. And that's ultimately what it is. The more noise you make, the more that you're out into the internet and you're expanding your business and your brand, that's when the price starts creeping up on things. It's just, it's the nature of the way that this is done.
That's awesome. You just remind me of an interview I did the other day with the dentist talking about preventive health. It's like, it's going to hurt more later. You just come in now. I'm thinking to myself, you just brought that to my mind. I'm like, man, you're right, Mike. It did hurt more. Like, but if we didn't do it then, when we didn't have, 5,000 episodes out there, all this content, all these other things, if we didn't do it then, who knows? Right? We might have been out of our reach as a company. We're not a huge company. It might have been out of our reach at that point to even be able to purchase it if we hadn't made that decision pretty early on in our company.
Yeah. Yeah. You're absolutely right. That's the scariest part of it.
So, Mike, let's get into M2C. So, obviously, you're an expert in your field and domain. I mean, you've been doing this a long time. So, tell us a little bit more about the company overall.
Sure. So M2C Digital, our primary objective is finding businesses and organizations mm-hmm. that need to upgrade their brand and need to upgrade their domain to match their brand. We work specifically with a lot of startup organizations. Mm-hmm. And in our ideal situation, we make the relationship with the investors who then understand the importance of this before the investment happens. Mm-hmm. And the big issue that we found, our experience is that basically anything that you're doing to make your brand more noticeable mm-hmm. is going to increase the price that you're going to pay for a domain. So yeah. That's key hires that you're making. That's announcements that you're going into a new market. That's attending different conferences and conventions. That's being interviewed, or critically, the announcement of we just received funding. And that's the thing that exponentially impacts what happens to the price of the domain. It goes from being attainable to stratospheric. And it's a huge frustration. I feel it. And so we feel it for all of our clients as well.
How does this, you keep mentioning investors. Unless you're in that business, I don't think most people know kind of like how that part of it works. So who are these investors? I mean, give us a little bit of a lay of the land on that part of it.
So very interestingly, some of the very first people that recognized that the internet and thus domain names were going to be something mm-hmm. were the people that recognized that toll-free telephone numbers were going to be a thing. And so go back to the day where you're driving down the highway and there's the billboard that says 1-800-DENTIST, that says 1-800-WHATEVER, 1-800-LAWYER. Mm-hmm. And so there was a group of people that just acquired all these toll-free numbers. And then they were able to sell them and make a profit. Mm-hmm. The telephone industry didn't like it very much, but there's nothing they could do about it.
Yeah.
When domains came on board, some of the very first people that got into that space were people that had made money doing these toll-free numbers. And then beyond that, people that began to see what this would look like. I mean, it took mm-hmm. a long time for the internet to become what it is today.
Of course.
And it will be something else tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But the real visionary people sat down and said, well, let me get every number that I can think of. Mm-hmm. Let me get every color. Let me get every animal. Let me get every location that I can think of. And then they started building computer algorithms that put combinations of colors and animals together. And they put just sort of like, these are ideas that people will have someday in the future. So somebody registered Purple Falcon, for example. Purplefalcon.com was registered at some point, and the business Purple Falcon yet may not even exist, but they know that the carrying cost, right? The expense mm-hmm. of being in this business, you look at the price of what you pay to purchase and own and hand register a domain,
yeah,
and annually what it costs you for Mission Matters to stay renewed. Mm-hmm. It's a very small carrying cost. When the opportunity is out there for a sale, a domain that you might hold for 10 years, 20 years, could sell for $1 million.
Yeah.
It's a very small investment, low risk for the high reward. And that's really where the investor comes from. Some of the largest investors, in fact, have consolidated from these very intelligent individuals. Mm-hmm. Now you start seeing consolidation where an enormous organization like GoDaddy buys a portfolio of 100,000 domains that were owned by an individual. And now they become the owner of these domains and control the destiny because they understand what the future and how much profitability there is in reselling these assets.
What an amazing like journey. And for somebody to see this and how obvious when you say this, and of course I didn't know this before this interview, but like how obvious after you say it, like the people that scooped up the original 800 numbers are like, oh, so this is the next thing. Like they were just sitting there waiting. And I feel like this type of investor is extremely patient. They're extreme. They have a long-term vision. Like they're even like that type of investor. They're looking like really long range. Cause if you're willing to hold on to an investment, you know, 10 years, 15 years down the line for it to pay off, like there's a certain tangibility there that let's just say your shorter term investor isn't going to see. Like this isn't
like really when you think
out like and you're expecting 100% return on your money investment. This is saying, no, we're keeping this because this is at some point going to be like, you know, and then I'm guessing the way that their cash flow works is they have, you know, every year they're selling a certain percentage, they're making a profitability and they're making sure they're cash flow positive and covering whatever they need to, depending on the size of the organization, right? Obviously that same thought process can be for smaller or larger, but that's am I off in any of this?
No, you're spot on. Yeah, you're spot on. It's all about managing your carrying cost and selling enough that you cover your carrying cost. Mm-hmm. And then they hold out for the hopeful win of, in particular, voice.com sold recently to an organization that wants to be a VoIP, a voice over internet protocol company. And they purchased the domain from an individual for $30 million. So as a seller, you sit back and say, I've spent a couple of $100 and I just made $30 million in profit. It really can be lucrative. Mm-hmm. There's some traps in it and people do get burned badly and lose a lot of money. But some of those earliest investors that are holding on to names that you would just be like astounded, like that is such an amazing name. They're still holding these and they're still going to be used at some point in the future.
Amazing. So circling back to your clientele and the types of individuals that you work with and the people and not, I mean, $30 million. Wow. So some people's mouth just dropped minded. If you didn't see it, but that's quite a bit. And, when you think about like, especially if you're a startup, your VC, your founder, and you're thinking about like your situation and like how serious to take this, like, what are some of the mistakes that you're seeing that people are making? Like, so should somebody like, I'll give you our journey. So if I went to missionmatters.com before we purchased it and I'm like, I don't know how to do this. It says maybe contact somebody or something else. What am I going to do? Pick up the phone and tell this guy, hey, or girl or whoever, like, or organization, hey, I want to buy this domain. Like that sounds like kind of odd to me. Like how does somebody navigate this, like this domain world?
Yeah, and it becomes even more complex now with so many privacy laws that are in effect that you used to be able to navigate and be able to locate contact information of individuals based on the fact that they own a domain. A lot of that is now masked because of privacy concerns. And so it's become even more difficult, more complicated. We see a lot of people that make the mistake of sending an email and giving either too much information, like this is who I am and this is me. And so I can look you up and I can see, wow, look at this guy's got a lot of money in the bank and I understand where he came from and he's best friends with Bill Gates. So he's got connections. The price goes up. Yeah. The opposite goes through where they come up with a story about how they're just a sophomore in college and they were looking for a domain for their project that's due at the end of the semester. They don't have any money. And it ends up just irritating people, making them mad because now you're being dishonest and this is a terrible thing to be doing, right? So they step on their toes in both of those situations. But ultimately, the biggest mistake by far is it's almost like putting our heads in the sand. We hope that it goes away. We hope that the price of Mission Matters is going to come down. It's not. The only risk you have is that it's going to go up.
Yeah.
So we encourage everybody to knowledge, right? Find out, even if you can't do anything about it today, if you know about it, and now you're going to go for a round of seed funding from somebody, on that line item, along with the three engineers that you need and the office space that you need and all these six or seven other things, you line item the fact that we're also going to buy our domain and it's already built into it. Otherwise, you get that round of funding from the outside. The seller sits back and goes, look, they just got $3 million. They're loaded. On your side as an entrepreneur and a business owner that just got a round of funding, you've given a reason, an excuse, and a use for all of that money. Yeah. You're not sitting on $3 million free cash. You've got that money is assigned to a specific thing already.
Sure.
So if we get you to line item that in advance, we can even lock up the purchase and make the payment after the money gets into your bank account. So it's all about trying to get ahead of that, the curve. The information that's being used by an investor is information that you're publicizing. So if we can make that purchase before you get too much publicity, we can help keep the cost down. And those savings then can be applied to things that are critical, hires, right? Extending your marketing budget, all these other things that really need to do with your money to be able to drive your business forward, because so many businesses are going to struggle and not make it. And this, we don't want this to be one of the reasons that people, you know, fall off the radar.
What does an engagement with M2C look like? So is it like a retainer basis? Is it like on performance, like after the deal happens, like a real estate transaction? Like how does an engagement work? Because I know there's some people watching this right now that are, they've never worked with a domain broker or somebody that helps acquire domains, I should say. I have not. Tell me how that works.
So we ask for some exclusivity for a period of time, typically about 30 days.
Yeah.
And there's a benefit for you and us asking for that exclusivity. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't look like anybody else is asking for the domain, there's one less reason for the price to be brought up. If you're trying to get a hold of the domain and you've hired me and five other brokers and we're all going at the seller at the same time, well, this must be very important. And I crank up the price. So we have a period of exclusivity that we offer you. There's no retainer. There's no cost. There's no fee. The buyers are in control of the entire process. We'll negotiate on their behalf. We provide anonymity for them, which is critical in some instances. We try to create an area where it may not be Mission Matters. Maybe there's three or four potential Mission Matters, and we don't want them to know exactly which one it is so that they can trigger and target a price. And then we want to try and move quickly. And that's why we say this short period of time within that 30 days that we can find out some information. It's either doable or not. It's either within your budget or it isn't. And if it isn't, then we stop the negotiation. We come back and we talk about a plan. What do we do? Do we make a payment plan? Do we make payment over time kind of situation? Do we stage this for X period in the future where it makes sense? And ultimately, we found long-term relationships. In the past 6 months or so, we had clients from 2017, 18, and 2019 that all closed deals this year. And it just took that long for them to be ready to make the purchase. And we're fully prepared to be that relationship kind of a partner and help guide that process. So just get ahead of the investors who have really have an upper hand.
Man, that makes so much sense. And the other part that makes so much sense about that is that for the investor side, assuming it's a sophisticated investor that owns the domain, like they have that long time span too. So they know you're not going anywhere. They're not going anywhere. They want their price. You want your, and realistically, I mean, like they have to sell a certain amount to meet their cash flow too. So they have expenses too. They're carrying a lot of domains. I'm guessing some of these bigger companies. So they're still, you know, even though it's small, when you multiply that small number by a whole lot, you know, like they have to create cash out of this too at some point. So it's the life cycle seems very appropriate to me. Do you find sometimes there's like we've been talking this whole time about like, let's say professional investors, right? There's gotta be instances where you locate a domain and it's just somebody that just has it. Like it's not a professional. It's like me. I'm like my first job out of college thinking of names and I'm on a computer board and I'm like, oh, let me buy a bunch of domains. I'm just bored today. and I'm just sitting on them and nobody's really reached out, but maybe I put a passion project on there and I got like my blog and it's me and a friend. And now I'm like, oh no, but I like this domain. Like what happens when you run into the amateurs, we'll say?
Yeah. So there's a couple of different kinds of amateurs out there. There is the amateur that doesn't really know what they have. Mm-hmm. They just picked up a name and it fell into their hands, or they happen to be the employee whose name was on the registration of a business that, you know, fell to the wayside. And that's probably a little bit easier to work with, because there's lots of tools and lots of things that we can provide to a seller like that to help educate them on the value of something. And that works to our advantage. If we're helping them to understand the value, they're going to be trusting of us, and it helps us to get a deal done. The very complicated ones are people that do have a very emotional attachment. There's a couple of different examples of these. We had three siblings that had inherited a website from mom and dad. And it was mom's website that she had a couple of, literally, she had a couple of pictures of cats up on it. Oh. And dad outlived mom, and dad had the domain. And after dad was gone, that was the website that the kids had. And they didn't want to get rid of it. They wanted it. What we did is we managed to negotiate with them. There's an egg, right? There's an Easter egg on a website for this company that those kids can go and click on that Easter egg, and they'll be brought to the original website. It still lives, right? It's not gone, but this other company has their primary website there now. And so you do have
that
to-
That is so cool.
Yeah, you have to be very, very diligent with some of those kinds of things. It's handling it with kid gloves. There's a lot of emotion there. One of my favorite stories of all time is locating a domain that the original owner had paid 15 years of renewals, and then he passed away, and he was unmarried. He didn't have anybody that was an obvious heir, but we located a girlfriend just through one article about him, found the name of a girlfriend. We hunted down the funeral home, contacted the funeral director, who put us in touch with the girlfriend, who had no idea that she owned a domain. We helped her walk through the process of getting the domain, because it would have just dropped and gone no place. And she was able to then make a great return selling the domain. She didn't work with us to do that, but you know, she had a huge emotional, she wouldn't sell the domain, but eventually she did sell the domain and made a lot of money in doing so. And it was, you know, it was her loved one's domain.
Wow, what an amazing story. Yeah, I feel like you've seen a lot of things being in this space and just whenever you're working with people, but stories for days on this one. This is great.
Yeah, absolutely, for sure.
So Mike, so what's the difference between working with a professional and just trying to do this yourself? Like at the end of this, because I want people to definitely reach out, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to leave your information, but like what do you think, like, is that big like deciding factor there?
I think it's access to tools and information. Mm-hmm. The sellers have decades worth of tools and information built up. They share, they have conventions, they have blogs, they have newsletters. There is so much information if you're a seller that you can access. Utilizing that same information and being able to apply it as a buyer is a huge advantage that the everyday individual does not have. And because we're in this role of understanding what tools and how they're being used by sellers, we can take them and turn them around and say, here's the advantage for us as a buyer to be able to use these same kinds of tools to either contact somebody or to determine what fair values are, or to understand what somebody's, you know, perspective and personality is. But there's a lot of just sort of below the radar tools that we're able to have access to that would just be out of reach for a single person trying to make one domain acquisition. And we never know which one of the tools we're going to need to pull out of our toolbox to be able to do a deal. We find out about a client that wants a domain name, and we've got to have every tool available to us because we just don't know which ones we're going to need on that particular transaction. And so I think that's probably the biggest thing is access to that information and to the tools to be able to get that done. It's critical as well. This is all we do.
Yeah.
And at Mission Matters, you're running a business.
Yeah.
And so any amount of time that you devote to trying to locate and negotiate mm-hmm. and all, it's taken away from your core mission.
Mm-hmm.
So let us just go. This is all we do. Let us go and do it. We are experts. This is what we do. And you don't have to worry about it until it's time to decide yes or no, we do want or don't want to buy this.
Mm-hmm.
Take this and make this a very easy path for people.
Man, I love it. I love the way you say that. To me, it's like, okay, you're entering the ring with, you know, the world champion boxer. And you're this guy that just, you know, you took a couple boxing lessons. Like, you can't just write an email and say, hey, I'm this college kid, or like, come up with these things. Like, this is your business. This is your domain. And the person that owns it, it's very likely that it's going to be that after you write that silly email of like being the college person, and then after you write that other thing that you're like, where you give them too much information, then you mess up twice because you're dealing again with a prize fighter on the other end that possibly has decades of experience, and they're going to conferences, they're learning about this. There's a whole community, trade magazines, all talking about this business. And here you are with your little email thinking. So after you poke the bear a couple of times, then you got to call M2C and be like, hey, so this is what I did. You don't think that seller knows it's still you? He knows it's you. He or she knows it's you. And now the price just went up more. They're still holding the same domain. It's the same person.
Yeah. We put our helmet on, we get down in the dog fight, and we just, you know, we wait it out. But absolutely, people do come to us and we're like, oh, we cringe.
You did what?
Oh, you did what? Oh, okay. We'll help you. It's not going to be easy.
But I see it because that's something I would do. That's why I'm laughing. I'm not laughing at you. I'm definitely not laughing at you. I'm laughing at me because this sounds like something I would do. And then I'd be like, hey, Mike, about this Mission Matters domain, I think I messed up.
And all of these things end up as fodder for the blogs and for the chat rooms that the sellers use, that they're having a great laugh at our expense.
Oh, man. So, Mike, this has been great. I'll tell you, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. If somebody's watching this right now and they want to learn more about M2C Digital or connect with you and your team and have that conversation, what's the best way for people to reach out?
Absolutely. The easiest thing to do is to just email us info@M2CDigital, M2CDigital.com, obviously. And, you know, we're happy to take any kind of questions. Mm-hmm. My whole thing and our stance is just this: knowledge is power. Mm-hmm. Nobody has to act, but you can't possibly act if you don't know what you're going up against. And let's find out if what you're facing right now is the greatest investor ever, or some guy who doesn't know what he's doing, or some woman who doesn't know what they're doing. And let's just know what you're facing so that you can make a decision rather than, you know, trying to make decisions in the unknown. It just doesn't work for us.
Love it. Well, again, Mike, thank you for coming on the show today. And to the audience, as always, thank you for tuning in. Hope you got a lot of value out of this. Hope you learned a lot. Hope you had some fun. If you did, don't forget, hit that subscribe button. Definitely want you to be a return listener and a return visitor. And Mike, it really has been a pleasure. Thank you for coming on.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, man. Appreciate it.